Hello, and welcome to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies.
Hello, and welcome to this latest in the OIES podcast series. My name's James Henderson. I'm Director of Energy Transition Research and Chairman of the GAS Programme at OIES. And I'm here today with my colleague Anouk Honoré to talk about her forthcoming paper, Demand Side Factors in the European Gas Price Rally in 2021. Anouk, welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
This is being recorded on Wednesday, the 23rd of February, 2022. In that context, I know your paper is coming out next week, but can you give us a little bit of background as to why you're writing the paper now?
Sure. The article is part of a trilogy, which is entitled A Series of Unfortunate Events, and it looks at the main supply and demand factors in the European gas markets that contributed to rising gas prices since the summer 2021. As you remember, our colleague Dr. Jack Shapples published the first article in December last year, which was entitled Supply Side Factors in the European Gas Price Rally in 2021, in which he took a deep dive into European production, pipeline imports, LNG flows, and storage movement. So my article is the second chapter of this trilogy, and it focuses on gas demand. The reason why it comes out rather later than the one on supply is simply due to the availability of data, which for gas demand is not as good, or better said, generally not as up to date than the gas supply flows data. Now, the final paper will be by another of our colleagues, which is Patrick Heather, and he will cover the trading activity and the level of volatility that came with the surge in prices in Europe last year.
Great. Well, thanks for that. And obviously, all those papers, all the trilogy will be available on our website when they're published. So, Anouk, before we turn to 2021 then, can you just give us a quick reminder, a quick summary of what happened to gas demand in Europe in 2020? I mean, obviously, the COVID-19 pandemic had a huge impact on global, never mind European economies. Did we see a similar impact on gas demand?
This is a very interesting question. So let me start with giving you a definition of what I mean by Europe in the paper and actually in this podcast. I do include 34 countries in Europe, which is EU27. But because in terms of gas, if you don't look at the UK or at Turkey, for instance, you're quite missing a big chunk of the information. So the 34 countries include EU27, the UK, Turkey, and also Albania, North Macedonia, Norway, Serbia, and Switzerland. So having said that, in this wide European region, gas demand declined in 2020, but interestingly, not by as much as we had anticipated, especially considering the impact that you just mentioned of the COVID-19 pandemic on the European economies in Q2, especially, but also because of the sort of winter we had in 2019-2020. Which was, if you remember, mild, wet, and windy, which is a combination of factors not really favorable to high gas demand in the region. And this is what we saw in Q1 2020. So all in all, our gas demand in 2020 declined by about 2.5% year on year. And the reason for such a limited decline, if you want, was first, we got some coal to gas switching in the power generation sector, at least in countries that had the capacity to do so. And that certainly helped to sustain gas demand at the regional level. And this happened despite comparatively low electricity demand and high levels of renewables in the mix. Second, we had also some industrial production that started to recover in the second half of the year. And that included several gas-intensive industries. And therefore, as a result, we finished 2020 on a broad trend for gas demand with signs of cautious recovery.
Okay, well, that's good. Thanks for that. I mean, so cautious recovery at the end of 2020. 2021, more sort of signs of recovery, or what were the key issues in Europe in 2021 for gas demand?
We started the year with a long winter and several cold spells, which increased the use for space heating and also heating-related electricity consumption. Second, we also saw a strong recovery in economic activity, especially in the first three quarters, and that led to a rebound in industrial gas demand in Europe. And finally, the role of the gas in electricity generation mix, which also increased in Europe. So in total, I expect, because we're still working on some estimates here, I expect that gas demand in my so-called Europe with 34 countries to have increased by 6% compared to 2020, or by about 30 BCM. Now, one caveat, well, two actually. First, as I mentioned, these are still estimates, so this may change slightly in the next few weeks or months when we get consolidated data. And second, this includes Turkey in Europe, which if you actually do not count Turkey, gas demand still went up in 2021, but not as much as what I just mentioned.
Okay, so, I mean, we should follow up on that. And Turkey obviously seems to be a special case with a sort of extra gas demand. Why is it different? Why is it worth mentioning separately?
It is indeed worth mentioning separately, as you say. This is because we saw a very strong gas demand in Turkey in 2021 alone, and this country actually had an impact on the regional total. Now, you do know that Turkey is the fourth largest gas market in Europe, behind Germany, UK and Italy. So any changes in this country could have its importance for the region as a whole. And in 2021, it did. Well, arguably in 2020 as well. In 2021, about one third of the additional gas demand that we saw in Europe happened in this country alone. So why was that? First, there was a very strong economic recovery in Turkey, especially in the first three quarters, which increased its demand for energy as a whole, but that includes, of course, its demand for gas. Second, the important factor was what happened in power generation. Turkey faced a low rainfall in 2021, which reduced the availability of its hydropower generation, which usually, as you know, is an important share of its mix. And this happened also at a time of low coal plant availability, which is also an important share of the country's power mix. So what this meant was that the country had to call on its gas-fired power plants to meet its soaring electricity demand.
Okay, well, let's go back to gas demand in Europe as a whole then. You've mentioned the strong rebound in demand compared to 2020, but we also know that gas prices increased very strongly, particularly towards the back end of the year. So what impact did higher gas prices have on gas consumption then?
That's a good one. That's the million-dollar question, Jim. So the question of price elasticity of gas demand is not an easy one. As you know, there are many factors that influence gas demand, and it's rather difficult to disentangle these drivers and isolate the precise components that explain a decline or a growth, incidentally, in gas demand. There is also an important distinction to be made between short- and long-run elasticities. In other words, what is focusing on the behavior changes in response to price and what is relating to any investment that would occur in response to sustained price changes. So what we're talking about here are short-run elasticities, which depend essentially on the availability of alternative sources that could be used instead of gas. And in Europe, as you know, this essentially happens in the power sector as a result of the coal-to-gas switching. So let me say a word about this. So gas use in power generation recovered well in the first half of 2021. But from July, there were already signs that gas demand was not as high as it could have been during the summer. Whereas on the other hand, generation from coal seems to be higher than it should, or rather said could be. Now from September, which also was when prices were really starting to increase strongly, gas prices, we could say that clean dark spread stayed consistently above clean spark spread until the end of the year, with record differences reached by the end of December. In other words, gas plants really became less competitive against coal plants, and we saw some gas to coal switching, or switching the wrong way if you want, in terms of emissions, in Europe in the second half of the year. Therefore, quite logically, we saw lower level of gas in power, especially in Q3. But what was interesting is that in Q4, we had relatively low availability of nuclear and hydro, which was coupled with higher electricity generation, and that left some room for both gas and coal plants in the mix. And this despite good availability of wind. As a result, and despite very high gas prices in Q4 in Europe, we still saw some gas use in the power sector that was actually up in Q4, despite those prices. And by the way, so was coal in the mix.
Okay, and what about gas demand in the other sectors? Were that affected by high prices, particularly at the end of the year?
Indeed. Let's start with the industrial sector. So since mid-September, high gas prices have also started to impact industrial activity, with several companies reporting temporary curtailment of production. We've all seen that in the news. And indeed, the traditional low summer level of gas demand in the industry continued well into September and October. Interestingly, from November, there was some recovery that could be seen, likely from energy intensive firms that have been able to either hedge against record electricity and gas prices, or were able to get their consumers cover the higher cost of their energy. So in November and December, we actually had fairly high level of industrial gas demand compared to what could have been expected with such high level of prices. Having said that, a renewed rally in European gas prices since mid-December seems to have resulted in some companies to again turn down their production. And what we're seeing is that the early estimates for the level of gas demand in the industry in January 2022 are actually lower and more in line with what we can expect with very high gas prices. I do agree that this is not the most price elastic sector, but let's just say a word on what happened. This is quite important because the heating demand, especially in the residential sector, represents about 40% of our annual gas demand in Europe. Of course, with important fluctuation year on year, and actually having a cold or warm winter in Europe can easily translate into plus or minus 20 BCM, 20 to 30 BCM of gas demand. Now, in early 2021, with people working from home, it seems to have helped sustain gas use for space heating in the residential sector in several countries. However, what is interesting is that this seems to have not happened again at the beginning of this winter, so the winter 2021-2022. Now, the data is still provisional, so this may be revised later, but one reason can be that people have simply gone back to work and therefore there is no need to heat their homes during the day. Another reason could be, it could also be an indication that gas demand, we're seeing some gas demand reduction with people turning their thermostat down because of soaring gas prices. Or it could also indicate maybe some demand destruction with people opting to or planning to opt to improve their insulation or to switch to heat pumps, for instance. In other words, this is some gas demand that may not come back, even if prices go down again. So again, this is still early, but this is something to keep an eye on.
Okay, no, great, thanks. So let's then talk about 2022. You mentioned January. We go into the year with gas prices off their highs, but still relatively high compared to normal. What do you think are going to be the main drivers for the rest of this year of gas demand?
We are still in February, and of course, any signs of potentially colder weather could tighten the market dramatically if we get another beast from the east, for instance, and therefore quickly prompt price increases. On the industry sector, as I mentioned, the impacts of continued high gas prices is started to be seen. Is this a sign of demand reduction only? Or are we also starting to see some demand destructions? Again, in other words, gas volume that could be lost and would not come back quickly, or in a European region that is looking to transition toward low carbon or zero carbon, potentially this is a gas demand that may not come back ever. Then, of course, the most important sector is what happens in the electricity sector, the availability of wind, that's the usual suspect, the growth of additional renewable capacity, and maybe even more importantly for the next few months, the availability of nuclear. Now, finally, of course, the coal to gas switching and what happens to this flexibility is definitely something that gas people will want to keep an eye on. This option is expected to decline. It has already started to decline with the coal phase out that is going to happen, that is happening in many countries. And because this is a huge part of the gas demand flexibility in Europe, it will have an impact on Europe, the regional market, but also it could have an impact at the global scale with potentially diminishing the role of Europe as a balancing market for LNG.
One final question for you, if I may. There's been a lot of talk about, you know, whether gas should be included in the EU taxonomy. Do you see any signs or learnings, if you like, from 2021 and 2022 as to what role gas should have potentially for the rest of this decade in Europe?
Absolutely. So signs for 2020-2021, definitely that gas is being used as a backup, whether we have low electricity demand, very high renewables, or very high electricity demand, low renewables. We do need some alternative supply to fill in the gap, to balance the system. And what we've seen is that gas is a big part of it. We've seen that coal and nuclear, in a lesser extent, are also helping with that flexibility. But the gas plants are definitely part of the story. Now, even looking just back 10 years, the last 10 years, so not just the last year or two, actually, if we want to increase the share of renewables, and by that I mean essentially intermittent renewables like wind and solar, we do need some flexibility into the system. And another way of saying it, if we want to reach our targets in terms of emissions, in terms of renewables, in terms even of efficiency, therefore better higher electrification, gas go hand in hand, if you want to, with the transition process in Europe. And this is not something that people may want to hear, but having the flexibility of the gas plants in the system can help to increase faster towards a higher share of renewables into the electricity generation, and as a consequence with lower emissions and further electrification. So I do see a role for these plants to be essential. Having said that, how long this is going to continue will depend on how fast the whole electricity sector transforms itself. We have higher flexibility from demand-side response, from batteries. We have a whole reorganization of the system. But if we want things to happen quickly, and with the 2030 targets in just, 8 years, we really do have to act quickly. And gas plants can really play a role to help us move and transition quickly to have a greener electricity generation just by acting as a backup. Again, it's a backup. It doesn't mean we will have a high level of gas demand as a result of it, but the role of gas will be essential.
Okay, that's a good place, I think, to conclude. Thank you very much indeed, Anouk, for your comments. Your paper, Demand Side Factors in the European Gas Price Rally in 2021, is out next week, which is the first week of March. So thank you for your contributions. Thank you to everyone for listening. You can find all our research, including the three papers in the trilogy that Anouk has mentioned, on our website. But with that, thank you again for listening. Stay healthy and goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from the Oxford Institute for Energy Studies. You can find other podcasts, as well as all our written research, on our website at www.oxfordenergy.org. If you would like more details about our oil, gas, electricity, or China programmes, then please contact us at information@oxfordenergy.org.